military veterans, and active duty service members. You could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, I'm looking forward to hour number two with you because we're going to shift gears from all things NFL to all things NBA.
Oh, I love this time of year.
It is a rich time of year. In fact, a rich time of night because we've got the Celtics playing the 76ers in their opener in Boston. The Celtics currently leading 51-41 over the 76ers in their opening game of that series.
Eastern Conference semis.
Eastern Conference semis. And the NBA right now is starting to shape up. It's clear who's emerging and who's going to sort of, well, we see Oklahoma City fall to the wayside.
Eight team standing.
Eight team standing. It's a really interesting window. You were at the Rockets the other night. We'll talk about your observations of the Houston Rockets as they won their season opener against Utah and looked pretty impressive.
Ooh, slap down. It was amazing.
And Golden State looks like they don't need Steph Curry. They can just win anyway.
Well, and you know, I'm hearing questions. Is the NBA better? Are the playoffs better without Steph Curry? What?
Well, if you're on any other team, the answer is absolutely
exactly.
Yes.
But not for the fans and
no.
Definitely not for Golden State. I mean, the offense is built basically around him. But the beauty of it is they have such talented all-stars throughout that roster that they can pick up when he's not around.
An amazing team. They're obviously overcoming a big injury. Another team overcoming a lot of injuries, the Celtics. And they stood tall in their series. Without Kyrie Irving, without Gordon Hayward, they had a new big three. Rozier, Horford, and Tatum stood up in Game 7 to take the win over the Bucks for the Celtics. And they did it without Jaylen Brown for most of the game, who was out with a hamstring injury.
Let's give credit to Brad Stevens. Seriously, my vote for Coach of the Year. How do you keep that kind of a roster going? I mean, they are in the Eastern Conference semis with a very injured roster from day one.
Right.
Wow.
Right. And then
imagine this team with Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving.
Well, that's the narrative in Boston. Think about next year. The one silver lining with all these injuries is Brown and Tatum, the youngsters, have really developed. And that bodes well for next season.
It does. And look at, they are still playing in May with an injury, you know, list that's longer than their roster.
All right, we'll unpack all things NBA when we return. And then the segment after that, we'll get Joel Blank to join us and help us unpack the NBA playoffs. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, round two of the NBA now underway. Celtics leading the 76ers. And there was a great matchup for the Rockets the other night. They beat the Jazz. You were there. In fact, you were sitting third row. As the camera went by, I saw, you know, there's a whole sea of humanity there in the stands, but like a shimmering light, I saw the gloss sitting in the seats.
Because I was probably standing up yelling, which is what I'm usually doing.
You were
doing,
the crazed, rabid fan with her fist in the air yelling, go Rockets, because you think the Rockets are poised. They're really doing well.
Yesterday's first half especially was the best that I have seen them look in the postseason. Because although they did well in the Timberwolves series, taking care of them 4-1, they never looked complete for any long stretches of time. You know, you had your game one, Chris Paul was something like 7-8 points. So, you know, just so unlike him. Next game, you've got James Harden, you know, eking out barely 12. You know, and someone different stepped up every night, which told me in the Minnesota series how deep Houston really is.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, that first half was a slapdown. It was an absolute clinic by James Harden, by Chris Paul. His ball movement was unbelievable. Was a little turnover prone yesterday with seven, but James Harden, you know, 8.2 dribbles per three. To see this clinic that he put on in front of, he had Rudy Gobert on his heels, Donovan Mitchell, Jay Crowder. Nobody knew what to do with him. He had his way with the Jazz.
So the 8.2 dribbles before he shoots the three, that strikes me as a little dribble diarrhea, right? Almost too many dribbles, but it works for him. He gets separation. He's adept at dribbling around and creating space.
Dribble diarrhea. That's a new one.
Dribble diarrhea. What you know where it came from was Steve Francis on the Rockets years ago. He used to come down, dribble, run the shot clock down so far that it left them almost nothing to do with an offense, and then he'd have to pop up a three. And so they dubbed him the master of dribble diarrhea. Not something you really want to have on your label.
But that's different.
But that's not James Harden's problem.
No, it's not. And it's not a problem. He does lead the NBA in, you know, in dribbles
before shooting.
But they're beautiful. They're between the legs. They're, you know, switching hands, you know, all
it's
of this.
It's good diarrhea.
It's yes. Okay.
Okay.
It can be that. But last year it was 6.2 dribbles per three, and he's gone up two, and it's working for him. I mean, it really, and even times when he would, you know, take it to the basket hard, and you're thinking he's going to get a layup. Nope. He has found this, well, throughout really the whole season. It's really beautiful. He and Clint Capella have this mano a mano going on that is absolutely beautiful, whether it's an alley-oop, whether it's a, you know, drive to the basket, quick dish to Capella and in. They have a really great chemistry. They don't even need to look at each other. It's like you and me, David. You know how we don't even have to say a word.
Well, that's why I keep looking up at the wall. You know, it's a no-look pass, right? I will say this, that everybody has talked about Harden and Paul and how well they play together. But really, to me, yes, it's Harden and Capella. Their ability to...
They can finish each other's sentences.
They really can.
Basically, yes.
Yes. Now, they're impressive. So Rockets looking good. They finally seem to have their mojo here in round two. Celtics look like they're on their way here in the first game here against 76ers, although it's only, about halftime, so it's too early to say. Celtics are playing without Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown with a hamstring injury. He is added to that list of injuries, so it's a tough beginning or tough playoff series for the Celtics. They're probably not built to last this year. They're developing a team that will really look much better next year with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
You know, I think what we're seeing in these playoffs with, well, definitely Houston and Golden State, and which we're seeing in Boston, is depth is key.
Yep.
You've got to have depth at your positions. You know, and especially what I love of what Houston has done with James Harden and Chris Paul, it's not even that they're on the court that much together, but they start together and they do have good, you know, good stretches of time together, but they allow each other, allows one to rest while the other one's picking up the slack.
Yep.
You know, Chris Paul is such a floor general and such an amazing ball handler, just incredible. And so he can be in without production falling off and vice versa with James and with James Harden on the bench. But I think Golden State has the same. Like I watched their playoff game the other night, the first game with New Orleans. They had a 76-point first half. And let's be clear that Steph Curry is in the stands. He's not even dressed out for the game.
Yep.
And I thought, I looked at, like, Klay Thompson was the high scorer with 27. But it was like, well, gosh, Kevin Durant had 26. And Draymond Green had this, you know, 18-point triple-double, fourth of his career. And I thought, okay, as an analyst, who do you interview after the game? Which one is the star? There are so many on Golden State. So I think the key... And that's what Boston, they have drafted well.
Yep.
So they've got depth, even with the slew of injuries. It's just absolutely key. That's not what Cleveland has.
Cleveland showing no depth. LeBron leading that team without much of a supporting cast. Kevin Love not very active this whole series against the Pacers. It really required LeBron to play at a whole other level.
Do you know that in that seven-game series with Indiana, which was the first time that LeBron has faced an elimination game in round one of the playoffs.
Yep.
So there's the first difference. But there's no other Cavs player besides LeBron that averaged even 20 points.
That has to change. I mean, he's going to have to get more.
Far enough with that, right. They won't get far enough without. He can't do it all.
When you look at that Pacers series, actually, I was impressed by the Pacers' ability to push the Cavaliers to the limit as they did. Mm-hmm. It took LeBron's heroic shot in Game 5, albeit after...
And a missed goaltending call.
LeBron with a heroic Game 5 shot, and then really he elevated his game to a whole other level in Game 7.
Mm-hmm. Which, the guy is so durable. I've never seen anything like it. It's really astounding. What will be interesting to see is, you know, as you move up into each, you know, each round, the competition gets tighter. And, you know, how is he really going to show? He says he's tired, but is this just a narrative to get Toronto to relax and then he's going to come out and be an Avenger, right?
Well, I'm impressed you used the term, given your lack of knowledge about all things Avengers.
I thought I would throw that out there like an SAT word for
really
you.
Really impressive there. The thing about LeBron is you're noting, you told me this, that he never bleeds, he never gets injured, he doesn't twist his ankle.
Nothing.
He's invincible. He's unbreakable. Remember the movie Unbreakable with Bruce Willis? That is LeBron James.
Or is that Brokeback Mountain?
No,
oh, Unbreakable. We're not going to go to the other side.
Brokeback Mountain? What are you talking about here?
It had the word broke in it. I don't know.
No. It was called Unbreakable. Okay. And LeBron has been very durable. But the other day, he did shed blood.
He did shed blood. That's the first time I've seen that.
Right.
Which is surprising. But
And yeah. The blood came out red. I mean, he is human.
He is human, as far as we can tell.
Right. But they've got a big series coming up. I mean, Toronto doesn't really scare anybody, but they've got some good players, and LeBron is sort of a one-man band at the moment.
But, you know, Toronto, I think they did close out the series with the Wizards, which was great.
Yep.
But honestly, after a 59-win season, I don't see a big difference in Toronto, meaning, you know, they're not moving the ball in the playoffs like they did in the regular season. Kyle Lowry has pretty much been neutralized so far in the playoffs. The bench is underwhelming. So you've got DeMar DeRozan. He cannot do it all.
Right.
You know, and I do like Kyle Lowry. And, you know, maybe neutralize is a harsh word. But, you know, I'd love to see more for him. I'd love for him to be a crunch time option for them, along with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah. And then OKC. Their season's done. You talk about a team who invested a lot in the offseason. They brought in Carmelo, and they only got one more win over last year.
After all that, Paul George, Melo, Westbrook, and they increased
How can that be?
And still had a first-round exit. We got to ask Joel Blank about
this. All right, when we come back, Joel Blank, who is a resident NBA expert here at Gal Media and SB Nation Radio, he's going to join us, and we'll ask him, what happened in OKC? How can they not improve more when they bring in the guys they did, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony? And what is the future of that team with Paul George, a looming free agent? Mm-hmm. All that when we return with Joel Blank here on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Well, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is one of our favorite NBA experts. He hosts a show on ESPN 97.5 here in Houston, Joel Blank. Joel, welcome to the show with David and Carla.
Always good to join you guys. How's everything going?
Well, better now. We've got you.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's the gloss. If the boss says that, I know I'm doing all right.
Yeah, the boss is a little less forthcoming with all that kind of effusive talk.
I've got secrets on you, boss, now, so you be careful.
Oh, you did catch me earlier today. All right, we'll move right back. Let's go to basketball. Here's the deal. When we went to break, we were looking at the OKC. I mean, they had Westbrook and George and Carmelo, all the hype, and yet another first-round exit. What happened, and what did they do to right the ship?
Well, I think the easy answer is what happened. I think how they right the ship is going to be really amazing to me because – you know, you look at what happened with Oklahoma City, and honestly, Sam Presti, the general manager, should get credit for saving the franchise and keeping it in Oklahoma City, because if he didn't do something last offseason, you probably would have seen that franchise move to another city because of the fact that it's the only game in town. When they had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, they were highly successful, and everybody bought in. But if, with the pending free agency coming for Russell Westbrook, with Kevin Durant leaving town, it was going to be real dicey, because if the team had any kind of a downtick, there was a good chance that the fan base would start to lose interest, sponsors would decline, and they would start looking to find a new home. So Sam Presti gets a lot of credit for making that last-ditch effort to bring in Carmelo Anthony, to bring in Paul George, to take a risk and hope to reap the rewards, and at the same time do what was necessary to keep the franchise afloat and successful. Also, you're dealing with a guy in Westbrook who had to prove that he was Batman, not Robin. He hated being Robin to Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. So the fact that he got the opportunity to prove, hey, I can be the best player on my team, I can be Batman, he did that. He won an MVP. He did a lot of good. But overall, it was all individual. And we all know that you can have individual success, but if you really want to build a legendary career, you have to do it in the postseason. You have to do it as a team. And that's not something that Westbrook is very good at. So enter Paul George, enter Carmelo Anthony. If you're a Rockets fan, thank every lucky stars you ever have wished upon that you didn't get Carmelo Anthony, yep. Because Carmelo Anthony showed who he really is as a person, as a player, and the fact as a player now he's declining and he's nowhere near where he once was. From Paul George's perspective, it's a no-lose situation. I go in, I play with these two other guys. If it goes well, I will succeed individually, financially, and as a team. If it goes bad, I can get out of here, and I can just have a jailbreak to get as far away from OKC as I can, and I can find success and money elsewhere because I'll be a free agent. I.e., a perfect example is Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo was thrust into the dark shadows of Russell Westbrook for a year. He didn't like it. He was traded for Paul George. Anybody see what Victor Oladipo did this year?
Oh, my gosh.
Pretty much the most improved player in the league, hands down, and an all-star. And as much as he'll say publicly, hey, I enjoyed learning from Russ. No, he also enjoyed the day that he found his freedom and was able to be his own man, his own player, and show what he could really do. So I think from a lot of different perspectives, I give the Thunder credit for trying, but obviously the experiment failed. Now you've got a guy in Carmelo Anthony who's going to opt into a $27.5 million deal next year and has come out and said, I will not come off the bench. So he's already making demands, and there's nothing the Thunder can do. So you've got a problem on your hands. I don't think there's any team in their right or wrong mind now that want Carmelo, as it was a different scenario a year ago when the Rockets and other teams were interested. Now, do you think LeBron James even wants to play with this guy? Probably not. So the Thunder, where do they go from here? That's a bigger problem, because now with Melo opting in, and who wouldn't opt in for $27.5 million,
yep.
That means your options are extremely limited. Your cap money is pretty much soaked up. And you're basically going to go at it another year with the same people intact, not knowing what George is going to do. If George leaves, you would have some money to play with. But I'm not sure anybody else wants to come to Oklahoma City, one, because it's Oklahoma City, two, because Carmelo Anthony is still going to be there, and three, because Russell Westbrook isn't exactly a guy that wants to play team basketball. So there's not a whole lot of advantageous reasons to go, yeah, I think I want to go sign with the Thunder.
Well, Joel, I love what you're bringing up, because what I'm hearing you say, and please correct me if I'm wrong here, is that, you know, you've named so many factors that are absolutely spot on why OKC, you know, once again, for the second consecutive year, is leaving in the first round exit. At one
right.
time, three future MVPs on that roster with James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook. I find it fascinating that they couldn't do anything. They couldn't get to the promised land with those three on the same roster. And one by one, and Harden was a sixth man, too. He was coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And so what it showed me is that you can build a team around James Harden. He's a team builder. And they did it in Houston. You could build a team with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. That's another team builder. You cannot build a team around Russell Westbrook. And so if he's got a $200 million contract that's about to kick in, do you want this radioactive superstar that is an individual phenom but not a team builder? He makes the NBA interesting, but he cannot take you past the first round. And look what happened, you know, what happened to Victor Oladipo. Do you want to keep this guy in OKC? I mean, who wants to?
Well, it's an interesting question, Carla, because here's the other thing you have to consider. The only reason that I would fault the guy that I just gave credit to and Sam Presti, the general manager, mm-hmm. is because back when the decision had to be made, they had Kevin Durant under contract. They had Westbrook under contract. Serge Ibaka and James Harden were both coming up, and he made the decision to keep Serge Ibaka and move mm-hmm. James Harden. And
oops.
I think in retrospect, he would probably want to do over on that deal. Of course, no one knew at the time that James Harden could be the player that he's blossomed into becoming. But at the same time, when you think about it, you look back and say, how did that team, and you think of some of the other pieces that were on that team, how did that team not win at least one, if not multiple championships? And the obvious thing when you guys go back to your first question and you look at where does the Thunder go from here, well, what happens when you're cap-strung, you've got all these different egos and personalities that aren't meshing, and you need to do something to appease the fan base and give everybody hope. What do you do? Well, it's pretty obvious. Billy Donovan should be looking over his shoulder, and he should be mapping out where he's going after this, because whether he could reach those guys fully or not, whether he deserves any blame or not, when you can't do anything with players that have contracts that are immovable, the next best thing you do is you blame the coach and you bring in somebody else and you try and fix it that way with a Band-Aid. I don't know any coach, whether you're a dictator or a coach of the people, could come in and right that ship and get guys to buy in and jump on board and say, oh, yeah, this is something that we can do as a team and make it right. Because there's just not that many coaches. And when you're talking about the pro game, these guys, most guys make more money than the coach.
Exactly.
So they don't care what he has to say unless it has something to do with them getting the ball. In Melo's case, he loves his head coach when Billy Donovan says, you're starting, when you're going to get the ball a certain amount of times. We're going to make sure you hit your average. But when Billy Donovan says, Carmelo, it's time to sit down, it's time to become a sixth man, it's time to do things differently, well, he's not having it. And at the end of the day, when the player makes more than the coach, who's expendable? I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, Joel, you bring a great point. We're talking with Joel Blank, NBA expert and show host here on ESPN in Houston. You know, talking about, you know, Billy Donovan and his role, I love that hierarchy that's kind of flipped between player and coach. You know, you look at Russell Westbrook, he takes 30% of the team's possessions, and he doesn't shoot like James Harden and Kevin Durant. And so when his shot isn't falling, he's streaky, and he can't adapt. And I think that's when the real liability comes in for OKC. So obviously I'm putting a lot of blame on Westbrook, but you're really opening up a lot of other things for us to think about, as we knew that you would. So tell us, okay, so we're here in Houston, and we are excited because yesterday afternoon, watching James Harden drop a casual, cool 41 points on the Utah Jazz in whatever way that he wanted, in so many ways, with step back three, drives to the baskets, alley-oops to Capella. What makes him so hard to guard, and what in the world can the Jazz do to adjust?
Well, here's another one. With the two-part question, I'll take the second part first, and I'll tell you guys that when you're less than 48 hours coming off a very, very tough series against the Thunder, it's really tough to game plan effectively if you're the Jazz. I think the Jazz are a very good team. They've proven that. They eliminated the Thunder. And when you look at them, and if you're the Rockets and you look at them, or a fan comparing the two teams, really, in a lot of ways, they're a mirror image of where the Rockets were just a few short years ago, because Rudy Gobert is just a more developed Clint Capella. Donovan Mitchell is what Chris Paul used to be when Chris Paul was establishing himself before he became a Hall of Fame point guard. You look at P.J. Tucker, and you look across the court, and you say, well, that's Jay Crowder, and Jay Crowder may be a little better shooter than P.J. Tucker. So essentially, when you're comparing apples to apples, the one orange that sticks out is James Harden, because the Jazz have no answer for a James Harden. But at almost every other position, they can find a guy that's a close to mirror image. The biggest thing is that's what Harden has to do. He has to assert himself. You can't have what you had in the Minnesota series where Chris Paul did it one game and Harden disappeared. You have to have them both doing it at the same time, because at the other positions, the Jazz match up well. So what Harden has really mastered is the offensive game. We all know he got criticized for defense, and that's improved, but he's never going to get the credit now because of all of the criticism he's received in the past, but that's fine. He's arguably, in my opinion, he's the best offensive player in the league right now, because LeBron James is 15 years in. And you look at all the different ways that he can beat you. It used to be that the Euro step was James' move. But now, if you think about it, Harden can be associated with the Euro step. Harden could be associated with the step back. Harden can be associated with being able to draw fouls whenever the hand-down, man-down philosophy is implemented. So he's developed every year another move, which has almost now become his signature move, to the point where people are starting to say he may be one of the most prolific scorers in NBA history. That's hard to say that anybody can develop and do at any level. The one thing James hasn't been able to do, and we talked about it to start this conversation, was he wasn't able to obtain a championship when he was with the Thunder, when he was the sixth man. That was his only trip to the finals. In the playoffs, he hasn't had the same kind of success. So the only thing that James really has left to prove, and we go back to what we said, you can make a name for yourself in the regular season, but you can make a legacy for yourself in the postseason. James has got to do it in the postseason. So far, he's on the right path.
He's got a shot coming up. Thank you, Joel.
Did you just say? What the hell?
It's time for He Said, She Said on The Boss and the Gloss.
And welcome back to The Boss and the Gloss. We are now teed up for our famous, highly touted He Said, She Said segment. We will listen to what some sports luminaries have said, and we will comment and offer our opinions. Let's begin with Russell Westbrook. We just talked about him last segment with Joel Blank. Russell Westbrook, of course, Oklahoma City Thunder. They fell in a Game 7 loss to Utah, and he did not leave Utah as a happy man. Let's listen to what he had to say.
I don't confront fans. Fans confront me. Here in Utah, man, a lot of disrespectful, vulgar things are said to the players here with these fans. Man, it's truly disrespectful. Talk about your families, your kids. And it's just a disrespect to the game, man. I think it's something that needs to be brought up. And I'm tired of just going out and playing and letting fans say what the hell they want to say. I'm not with that, because if I was on the street, they wouldn't just come up to me and say anything crazy, because I don't play that. So I just think it's disrespectful when they get the chance to do whatever they want to do. It needs to be put to a stop, especially here in Utah.
Well, you're excited. You got your beep.
There's
early
a good
on,
beep. Yes.
Right out of the gate.
Yes, but it does raise the question, what do you think fans were saying to him? We're left to speculate. He didn't get specific.
We saw it, though. One was when he was going into the locker room at halftime.
Okay.
A fan was kind of getting in his face. At the second time, it was at the end of the game, and a fan was basically putting the video phone, you know, videotaping it, you know, really close to his face, and he did not like it.
So this is more than...
But they said
disappointment of a Game 7 loss. There was real noise.
Oh, yeah.
More than normal. Because actually, from afar, and I've not spent a lot of time in Utah, I might have thought the Philly fans were really tough, not the Utah fans. But maybe I'm over allocating too much goodwill to Utah.
Well, it's funny. Utah has that reputation,
yeah.
Not just with the Thunder. But what, you know, I'm going to take two sides of what Russell said about, you know, he's not okay with fans confronting him, and and fans, just because they buy a ticket, basically don't have a right to say anything that they want. I agree with him on that. I absolutely agree with that. Here's what I don't like. He really says, you know, didn't like the disrespectful, vulgar things and not talking about your families or your kids. So it was two fans, again, one at halftime, one at the end of the game. They were in an opposing team's arena. And it was a Game 7 loss. So it was a nasty environment, you know, not boding well for Russell Westbrook. I'd ask Russell Westbrook to look back 2 years when Kevin Durant, as a brand new Golden State Warrior, returned to Oklahoma City. And that is an arena that he gave 9 years. Well, one was Seattle, eight more years in Oklahoma City. Gave 9 years, won a league MVP, several awards. He was a superstar for Oklahoma City, not only on the basketball team, but in the community, engaged in the community, did everything when the hurricane came through. He was incredible. He becomes a free agent, goes to Golden State, and the vitriol that met Kevin Durant in the place that he gave his heart and soul for almost his entire NBA career. And it was an entire arena, all that cupcake business. And it started with Russell Westbrook and his nastiness. And here on the station, we were fortunate enough to interview Kevin's mom, Wanda Durant, who also was entrenched in the community. And she was confronted with words that she could not repeat on air.
She was there that night when Durant returned to Oklahoma City and heard all the banter and the noise.
And she got vulgarities and all profanities laced at her. So I would say to Russell, karma's a beep, and you got it. If you don't like it, don't give it.
Fair enough. All right, let's shift gears to a happier
reunion. Yes, let's go happy. And I'm going to let you talk about this one.
The head coaches of Golden State, Steve Kerr, alongside head coach Alvin Gentry of the New Orleans Pelicans. These two are old friends, yet they had to meet and shake hands.
Before
game one. Let's hear what Steve Kerr had to say about that meeting.
We got to do the thing for the camera so that we can say, they're such great friends.
Good luck.
I hope we kill you guys. That's what I really hope.
At least they're laughing.
Yes. And these are two quality guys by everyone's metrics, stand-up guys, high-integrity guys, popular guys, and they're having some fun with the rivalry.
Well, what's so fun about it is that Alvin Gentry was an assistant coach under Steve Kerr in 2015 when the Warriors won their championship. So they have a history together. They've worked together. And, you know, Greg Popovich was a mentor for both these men, so they come from great stock. And I have to say, Steve Kerr, as you remember from his Bulls days, you know, when he played for Chicago, he is the ultimate competitor. So while he's laughing, he really does mean to Alvin Gentry, I hope we kill you guys. And you know what? After a 76-point first half, they did.
I think they heard what Kerr wanted, no doubt. All right, let's go to the NFL. We've got Josh Rosen, NFL draft. After he was passed over 9 times is what he had to say.
I was pretty pissed off. I fell. 1, 2, and 3 went by. And just kind of went into a blur after that. I was really angry. Teams were passing on me. And I was honestly expecting to get picked at some point and have to fake a smile and go up and pretend to be happy. But for some reason, when I got picked, all of that went away. And it just went to straight excitement and relief. There were 9 mistakes made ahead of me. And I will make sure over the next decade or so that they will know that they made a mistake.
Rosen looking for revenge already.
Sometimes honesty is not always the best policy. Do not sit there and basically say how angry and disappointed you were, but then eventually you turn.
Now, he did come back and amend his statement. Not 9 mistakes, but he was mad more about the 3 quarterbacks taken ahead of him.
Right.
But still.
The reason he dropped to number 10 is because there have been character concerns about him. And he just made that very obvious of why they're character concerns.
Yeah.
I think what has been great for Josh Rosen is that he has ended up in Arizona, which is not a New York-type media market. Stories don't really stick in Arizona. This is a great place for him. What he needs to learn, you know, I don't think he could handle the pressure and the scrutiny in a bigger media market. Clearly, he's got some growing up to do. But the NFL, to me, is a show-me league. It's not a talk league. And Josh Rosen needs to learn this. He hasn't quite figured it out yet. But, you know, it was just draft night. And players, they respect performance. They don't respect verbiage. So he's got to, you know, if he's got this chip on his shoulder for being the number 10 pick and the 4th quarterback taken, show us on the field.
Yeah, I agree with your point that it's probably best he landed in a quieter market like Arizona. He doesn't need to wade into politics. He doesn't need to speak on all topics. He just needs to focus on football. So that's his opportunity with the Cardinals.
And maybe don't be quite as honest as you are.
Okay, Ron Culver's got one just to grill me, just to get under my skin. This is David Akers of the Eagles. You want to tee this one up for us, Ron?
No,
Ron.
I told you I was hesitant. I didn't want to upset the mug.
Yeah, I got this Cowboys mug here alongside the boss, I might remind you. But you're going to play this anyway, aren't you?
Yes, this is David Akers, longtime kicker for the Philadelphia Eagles on day 2 or day 3. I can't remember which day it was. It's usually where Roger Goodell no longer comes out and gives the announcements. They have either former players, celebrities, what have you, come out and make the announcement. Yeah, and the backstory to this was the Philadelphia Eagles had just traded up to jump 1 spot ahead of the Cowboys.
Tonight, I'm representing the Philadelphia Eagles, NFC East champs, divisional champs, NFC champs, and world champs.
Ooh. Wow.
There's some truth to that statement.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll clean up my desk tomorrow. I'm sorry.
Ron, you can just go home tonight.
Ron, I love knowing you. Thank you for taking care of us all these years.
Now, he was good while he was around, and now he's gone. I'll say, Drew Pearson set this table, right? This was last year when he went into Philadelphia.
In Philly, right.
And he reminded the Eagles how many championships the Cowboys had and how the Eagles had zero. So, yes, the Eagles get their payback in David Akers and maybe payback in drafting that tight end, Dallas Goedert. I mean, the Cowboys in need of a tight end, and the Eagles traded right ahead and got that spot, got Dallas, who was probably the best tight end left on the draft board.
Whose name is aptly named Dallas as well.
When you know why he was named that, right? It was his dad's favorite team.
See, it was destiny. Voila. It was destiny. And then Akers came in and screwed it all up.
I've heard lately now that there's a GoFundMe going on amongst the Eagles camp to have Dallas change his first name.
Yes, I saw this today.
Oh, that's fantastic.
How great is that?
Maybe to Philly. I don't know.
Well, if Philly sounds just fine.
I think Philly works.
If you're going to wear the Eagle green, might as well go that way. All right, we've got one last. He said, she said, this is really not from a voice of the sports community, but it's Kim Kardashian. And I'm going to defer to you, Carla, to speak for the Kardashian family and their position in life and what's happened with Kim Kardashian. What did she have to do and say?
Well, Kim went on the Ellen Show today. So this is fresh off the tape. Here we go.
Like, I don't even know how to describe it besides it's just so f***ed up. We really were rooting for Khloé, and we still are. You know, she's so strong, and she's doing the best that she can. It's a really sad situation all over.
Well, do you want to tell what this is about?
No, I'm going to let you tell.
I don't want to tell.
Really?
Well, it's just Khloé's man friend, Tristan Thompson.
NBA star.
NBA star for the Cavs. Not very faithful.
Well, look.
Caught on tape.
Maybe the video just misrepresented.
Not with just one.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. If he did it, he did it big.
I mean, so.
Days before their child was born.
Days before Khloé went into labor, Tristan's out on the town.
Tristan's baby.
Oh.
Not cool.
That's hard. Well, maybe it was just a misunderstanding.
Okay, enough.
So what is Kim, sister of Khloé, she retaliates, right?
And this is very key. This is what I would say to all girls out there who are wronged. Do what Kim did. Unfollow the cheater.
What do you mean unfollow him? What, she's never going to follow him on Twitter or Instagram again?
That's it. She unfollowed.
Wow, revenge has been rendered.
You know, I think as a princess of darkness myself, I could think of something a lot better than unfollowing.
But
does the word Lorena Bobbitt like bring up any memories? But I'm not going to go there. Just saying, unfollow is way too nice.
So have you heard any more about the status of Khloé and Tristan's relationship?
I have not.
There was a bit of a banter back and forth that he was coming back. He was apologizing. He was asking for forgiveness. Is there any way that Khloé could take him back?
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Not if.
What do you give? What's the over under?
I'm not optimistic. The video is hard to slay.
It is hard to slay. Wow.
It's a little grainy. You can't tell if that's him.
You two out.
I mean, it just, it's maybe.
I'm unfollowing you, Ron Culver.
Oh my gosh. You're not going to get followed by the gloss anymore. Your Instagram will never be the same.
He's really shaken now. I can really tell. I've upset him.
I'm borderline fired. Now I'm getting unfollowed. This is turning out to be
it's a
terrible
bad
night
for you,
oh
RC.
My God.
Tough night for Culver in the booth. All right. When we come back, we will empty out the notebook. All the topics we've not yet addressed, but wanted to.
We will unfollow everyone who deserves to be unfollowed.
All right. And we'll unfollow anybody who needs to be unfollowed. We'll follow Kim's lead. We'll be right back on SB Nation Radio.
This is the Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
I always learn so much from you during these 2 hours each Monday. There's a lot of deep wisdom here.
It's probably stuff you're not learning at work during the day. So.
No, I'm certainly not learning it during the course of the day.
Got to bring me in after hours for all this special info.
I mean, let's just revisit a few things today. One, Bob Golic says you are a sweet princess of darkness. Which
I like that. I'm going to take that.
That's sort of an oxymoron. You can be sweet or you can be a princess of darkness, but you can't be both. But he says, yes, you can.
It takes skills.
Okay. Well, you pull it off like no one we know.
Thank you.
We concluded that the Texans, Houston Texans, your home team, now have two good safeties.
Love it.
Love the Justin Reed pick, and he'll be able to pair with the Honey Badger, whom they got in free agency. We concluded that Russell Westbrook is not a team builder, and OKC is in for a long winter is coming.
Winter is coming. Winter has come, and it's only May.
We both concluded that the Browns botched the draft. It should not have been Mayfield and Ward. It should have been Darnold and Chubb. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's too bad. I mean, they've done it again. I thought they were all teed up. The stage was set for the Brown turnaround.
And Bob Golic agreed with you.
Well, he was reluctant. You know, he's a former Brown. He showed a sliver of loyalty. He sort of tempered his comments and said, well, maybe Mayfield was the guy. But look, in hindsight, you line up 8 out of 10 GMs in the league, I think they would have gone with Darnold and Chubb, not with Mayfield right. and Ward.
It's all about hope, though. You got to have hope, especially if you live in Cleveland.
Hopefully they'll cling to some. And then, of course, we realize that you know nothing about the Avengers. We learned that tonight.
I know, that's kind of sad.
But that didn't keep you from throwing out an Avenger reference. I mean, you're not afraid to talk about something.
A word that I don't know?
You really don't know about the Avengers, do you? Can you name?
No, I don't.
I know. Can you name just a few of the Avenger people in the Marvel comic series? I don't think so.
Wonder Woman.
No, you're a Wonder Woman. That's okay, it. Good. That was your. I know you dressed that way for Halloween. You looked great.
Thank you. Yes, you know it's one I pull out. Thor.
Thor. Yeah, excellent.
Does that
Very
work?
Good.
Okay.
And then we also learned that if you're wronged as Khloe Kardashian, that what you need to do is unfollow the perpetrator.
It's the key to life.
Unfollow them on social media and you really get revenge.
Woo.
Wow. All this covered in just a brief 2-hour show.
Okay, will you have me back next week?
We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
Patrick Creighton coming up next, The Wise One, on SB Nation Radio.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.